Brittany, you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yep, here we go.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
And a beard, 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 here in Declare. Your independence and me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, IA, from the BEA beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com, Brittany Schaefer. Oh, we're going to talk and say hello. She's a journalist for many years and is now a mother and writer. She's the author of Urban Yogini, whatever that is, superhero who can't use violence. And the upcoming adventures of Annabelle Pickering and the Sky Pirates! Pirates, 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 pirates. Oh, that's so awesome. Brittany Schaefer is the daughter of a Butler Schaefer, a longtime friend and guest here on the show. We've known him for a long time, and it's awesome. He and Jane, her parents, have raised Brittany and for the win, for the Schaefers. Boom. You guys win. So she has written a lot of articles on a lot of things that are of interest to us, and we always publish them on Freedom's Phoenix whenever we see them. But she's been involved in California in this vaccine issue, vaccine education. Now, we just had a vaccine education summit into September, and it was awesome. Del Bigtree was there pimping their new movie, Vax 2, which Donna just went and saw last night with Dr. Frank Tamburi, a naturopath. His wife is a naturopath also. So I had her go and see this movie. I was doing a show with James Corbett, so I didn't get to go. I wanted to, and Donna's here to give her a real quick review on it. But Brittany, I got you there?
Yep, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Have you seen the movie Vax 2 yet?
I have not. I have not. It's funny because at least where we are, they're having to sort of screen it in secret. They say, oh, there's going to be a screening on such and such date, but they won't release the venue until the last minute.
Right.
So it's tough for me to make plans that way. So I haven't. I fully intend to see it, but I haven't seen it
yet.
Well,
that's what we did. They had an event here at one of the theaters, nice theater, North Scottsdale area, and they had it scheduled, and we knew where it was going to be, but they didn't say until the last minute or whatever, and you went and bought your ticket and got over it, and you just had to figure time you're going to get there. I don't know when they announced where it was, but Donna, you went and saw it just last night. We haven't talked that much about it. Just real quick, give Brittany and I a review. Wait, let me push the button. All right, go.
Am I here? Okay. I thought it was very informative. It kind of went back and forth between a lot of different families that had come to the original vaxxed bus that was touring around, kind of went through how they actually got the vax bus and how it is having the street activism is just phenomenal, and the people that come up and share their stories each get to sign the bus, and there's like 8,200 families or people that have been injured that have signed their name on the bus. I was really kind of blown away by the statistics. Not only did they go through the vaccine injured and what they go through, and I was kind of amazed that a lot of them just die instead of just, you know, have autism or whatever. But they also went through the positive aspects of not vaccinating your children, and they had families on there speaking about that as well. So it sort of left on an uptick, and I thought it was just really powerful.
How long was it?
You know, I'm going to guess about an hour and a half.
So did Savarda, did she dig it?
Yeah. Yeah, it was informative for her, too.
Are we getting a bunch of the copies and pirating the crap out of them and passing them out to our
kids? Well, I
don't
know about that, but I was like, I gotta find out where to, you know, get it. I mean, we have to buy the initial one and send it to our kids and everything. I mean, they already know, but I mean, it's powerful because they're up against a lot of, you know, a lot of these families have been pushed into doing it. The doctors, you know, they're not schooled in really how dangerous
they don't care.
It is.
It's this mandated in California. Brittany's got to get her kids vaccinated.
I'm sure there's some people that are just dumbed down and other people that just don't care. But, you know, some of these families were coerced into doing it. Oh, you don't want your daughter to get cervical cancer. You have to get this or she's going to get it. And then they end up getting the cancer or they end up dying. I mean, I was just blown away by the whole HPV, you know, the Gardasil thing.
Well, now they're going to go mandates for adults and you get your free flu shot. And if we don't kill you off, we make you sick. So we get all your money one way or another anyway.
But just real quick, I know on Monday the Vax bus is coming up from Tucson to Phoenix, and then it's on its way to California. So I don't know exactly where in California. If it's there, maybe you could.
Did you put the story up of when it's going to be here?
I haven't even got to that.
Boom! You can go do that right now. All right, we'll have it up there for its Vax bus coming Monday. Mm-hmm. All right. So, Brittany, add to this. What do you know about, before we get in the next segment, we'll talk about your articles and your activism and so on this, but aren't you in California? Don't you have to vaccinate your children?
We're in California. If we wanted them to go to school, and that's public or private school, because the law applies to both, then we would have to. So we're homeschooling, so for now it doesn't apply to us, but they've made it pretty clear that they're going to come after homeschoolers next.
Of course.
And I'm willing to put, I don't want to argue with anyone about that. I'm just willing to put down cold hard cash because it's so clear from their mouthpiece, the Los Angeles Times, has already started going after homeschoolers as, you know, this threat because they're, you know, getting around the mandates by homeschooling. So in the next couple of years, we're going to see that.
Are you willing to move? I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah, we're looking elsewhere. We're definitely looking elsewhere. And a lot of people, there are Facebook groups dedicated to people leaving California for health freedom reasons. That's on top of all the people who have left because of, you know, of the other sort of crushing abuses of the state. I mean, it's consistently ranked the worst state for doing business. You know, if you're a small business person, this is the worst state to be in terms of taxes, regulation, all that stuff. So there's an exodus from this state, and part of it is driven by these new vaccine laws.
Well, does the government there, do they care? I mean,
they don't. In fact, I was at a special needs conference once, and there was this guy who got up, he was one of the keynote speakers, and he was talking about all these things he could do for us. He was he's an aide to one of the senators. And he helped get past some big bill that I think it had to do with mandating that insurance companies had to provide services for, you know, certain kinds of services. And so he got up and he said, you know, if you guys have any ideas, anything that I can do for you in my position, you know, come up and tell me. So I went up afterwards and I said, well, hey, I've got an idea. You know, it's really tough to do business in this state. You know, we'd like to do something like start a special needs school, a special needs Montessori school, and the regulations just make it really, really difficult. What about pushing to eliminate some of those regulations? And his response was, it's a non-issue. And you know, this is a guy who has to know there's this exodus from California precisely because of these regulations. They don't care.
He said it's a non-issue to him, to the legislature. What are you talking about?
Just the regulatory state, overregulation, and I didn't mention taxation, but that's, you know, he inferred that, and I meant that as well.
Get back. I don't understand what you mean. You explain this. We need to be able to eliminate regulations so we can have this opportunity. He goes, it's a non-issue. A non-issue to whom? What does he mean by that?
Well, he didn't go much further than that, but in his paradigm, it's a non-issue because his paradigm is all about using government power to give groups certain things.
Got it.
And when you're taking away government power, that doesn't help the people he's working for. It doesn't compute, I think. In his paradigm, that doesn't even compute.
Yeah, so, we got plenty to talk
And that's
about.
Not what he said, but I think that's...
No, I get it.
That's where he's coming from. They don't see it.
A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation, a difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
Pirate. Okay, we have on the pirates, I don't know if you've ever gone to the letters at all, but there's one from Dr. Idris Barber that we have.
Yes, I've seen that, yeah.
And that is kind of, you know, we incorporated a lot of this stuff in there. Then the most recent one that we're pimping is Scuttlebutt. It's the fourth letter of reprisal. And what it is a pirate ID system, you know, biometric, I don't care. It's freaking you on my ship. I want to know who the hell you are kind of thing. But it has the reputation precedes you. It follows you. It's kind of, you know, but it's by us, not the state. You know,
that's awesome.
You know, so it's there's different things. It sparked some development, and I'm like, okay. So then people go, hey, we're doing this and doing that. And I'm going, whoa, it looks like we might have some solutions here, but the man ain't gonna like it. Now, when we come back, the non-issue thing, I wanted to bring that up because I know exactly what they're talking about. If the people don't care, it won't be legislation. They won't discuss it. They don't care. So I'm going, all right, I get it. And it was a guy, his name was Mark Killian. He was the Speaker of the House here in Arizona. He later went on to be Director of the Department of Revenue. And he banned guns, you know, on when you went to pay your taxes and the employees and all that. So we protested. We had big signs, welcome to the Killian Fields and all that kind of crap. You know, we just had all kinds of fun. Well, a lawsuit went to the Supreme Court here, and I was being a butthead. So I learned it from him, and it was the, they called it the Education Overcharge Fund whatever it was. And what they did is they were check kiting from one budget to the next, and they went into all kinds of big debt and long story. I go to him and I showed what it was in his office, and he goes, Ernie, it's a non-issue. And I go, what? And he goes, nobody cares. I go, but this is unconstitutional. It says right here. God, he goes, yeah, so nobody cares. All right, I'll be right back. So I went and made him care. So I'm wanting to know, when they're saying it's a non-issue what you're talking about, how do we make them care? All right, let's talk about it. Here we go.
Call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, when they were saying we belong to the city, I don't know what they mean. They think you belong. They're like, oh, Brittany Schaefer's in California. They're saying she belongs. They're talking to, you know, I guess a lobbyist or facilitator or whatever, a group, and he goes, you're talking about, you know, we need some more business freedom, education freedom, some freedom. How about, can I please ask some freedom? Freedom's the answer. What's the question? And he goes, it's a non-issue. And I went through this before, Speaker of the House here in Arizona, long story, but the bottom line was, is a big unconstitutional budget, $165 million came across. Eventually it went to Arizona Supreme Court and, you know, and I pissed them off, made them pay it back, and then they do it again later anyway. But, you know, the point is that he goes to me and he said, nobody cares. It's not an issue. What do you mean it's not an issue? This is right here. It's a clean, clear-cut issue. And he goes, that's not an issue. What do you mean it's not an issue? Nobody cares. It's not a campaign issue until there's a parade. Get a parade. And I know what he was saying. He was like, yeah, you build a parade and then I'll jump in front of it. And I'm seeing that happen. Our vaccine education summit that we did September 28th. What happened? There were like five legislators that had come by. Three of them stayed for the whole thing. And they're kind of, oh, yeah, and we're jumping in front of your parade. And don't get vote for me. And we're kind of working, be reasonable. And maybe we'll make progress on and we'll put it up for a vote and kind of, you know, maybe in something. And I go, traitors first. Don't any of you guys get in this and kind of half-ass it and think you can kind of, you're going to be, oh, well, next time. No, hell no. Because I go, traitors first. I see you guys back off when you do a deal. Oh, you are so in my target. Traitors first. Now, Jonathan Lockwood was a young activist there during all this when you guys were having this problem in California. And he spoke at the summit, too. And he's like, yep, traitors first. These guys will lie to you to your face. Now, Brittany Schaefer has been writing on all of this. Definitely got an opinion. Has children. Lives in California. Her father was a constitutional law professor at Southwestern University there. She knows the law. She knows libertarianism. She knows the rhetoric. She's an anarchist. You know, she gets it. Will she move? How much force? What are they going to do? They're going to go after homeschoolers next. I don't know. What are you going to do, Brittany?
We're looking elsewhere. We're definitely looking at moving. But they're also not going to stop with homeschoolers in California. This is a global effort on their part. Yep. It's global entities. It's pharmaceutical companies. It's the WHO. Their ultimate goal is to vaccinate every human being on the planet, whether they want it or not. So, you know, we can run for a while, but it's going to buy people time. It's not going to solve the problem. And as far as appealing to politicians, you know, I just don't think. I wrote a piece a while ago called "The Real Reason Libertarians Don't Matter," and basically my point was that within the game of the political system, what wins that game is not giving people liberty and removing government constraints. That there's no money in that. There are no incentives for politicians to do that. You know, if you made such a big noise and got such a big parade going that they had to pay attention, you know, that they had to do something about it, you know, there might be some, you know, minor exception to that, but they're still going to try and twist whatever, you know, let's say you get them on board, you know, behind your pro-freedom parade, they're still going to, the way that their game works is what they have to offer is power over other people. So they're operating within that paradigm. So that's going to be, their solution is going to be twisted into that somehow. They're not going to, I don't see politicians, you know, getting in front of a pro-liberty parade and then saying, yeah, let's eliminate government in this realm, or let's eliminate regulation. I kind of go into more depth in that in the article that I wrote, but essentially the way I see the game of politics, you don't win it by giving people liberty. You might win it by talking about liberty, but ultimately you're trading power. You've got power to, for example, you know, impose new regulations on someone's competitor, or you know, make a certain industry less competitive, which benefits, you know, the existing big players in that industry. those are the that's the currency you have as a politician, and that's what people pay you for. The people who are paying for you to run a campaign, the people who are financing your campaigns, aren't doing it so that you can liberate people. They're doing it so that you can benefit their industry or their special interests.
So does freedom have to become its own special interest, or you just be free and you just bypass and, you know, screw the man and you're over here and you don't see you and you go invisible or you move? Or, I mean, what's the solution?
I think the solution is we need to come up with technologies that make that make coercion impossible or make it very difficult. And I think that's what cryptocurrency is aimed at. It's a possible way to remove the ability of anyone to control money. And that's the kind of thing we need. We need technologies that...
So starve the beast of the money. See, this is one thing that I keep talking about. It was... we learned in the 90s in our campaigning, and it's a long story, but bottom line was this. The money will always find its way to power. You want to get rid of the money in government, you got to eliminate the power. Because if it didn't have the power to, you know, do all this stuff and favors for people and the tax code of the whatever and regulation out there, competition of I got a monopoly on whatever the hell, you know, if you don't eliminate that power, you'll never eliminate the money and influence of those people that are going to wield it to screw you.
Yeah, exactly.
And the power, like you're saying, you can take that power away, you know, by like cryptocurrencies, you know, with alternative. Mm-hmm. That's why we're decentralization. We've gone all pirate. After, ooh, you a sky pirate. That's good. I like that. I got to get you some goodies.
Yeah, and not just cryptocurrencies, but also, you know, things like WikiLeaks, technologies that allow people to tell the truth and while protecting their identities. That kind of thing. I don't think it stops at cryptocurrencies. I think there are a lot of opportunities for technologically routing around the beast.
Well, that's what we've been doing with Interplanetary File Sharing, IPFS. Third hour yesterday, we spent a lot of time with one of the guys that's helping us with the coding for it. You know me. I'm freaking, man. You don't have to sell me. I know. I'm way down the road on this. We're promotion to decentralization of everything because it's the only solution. It's these guys. They count on a collective. You're barrel fish. I mean, you know, they just want to put you in, they go, yeah, we'll take that one and all of what they got, and they got, because they can, and they're going to keep doing it until they can't.
Exactly.
And I don't know what can't. A lot of times it's a revolution, people rise up and guns and stuff, but then you got, like, new guys with guns in charge. Yay.
Exactly. That's not a solution.
Yeah, I don't see, but what is? Well, Brittany is on the freaking front lines, and has been seen the front lines with her parents as a lens for this her entire life. What, you think she doesn't know what's coming? What's she going to do about it? What should we do about it? What are the solutions? What's the next battle? What are we? I don't know. We're going to ask Brittany Schaefer when we come back. And you're going to tell us, right?
I am. I've got it all figured out.
All right. This is one. I was interviewing, what is it? San Miguel Allende or something, is a, you know, beautiful Spanish Mexican town in the central Mexico. And it came into the news because, you know, you got cartel guys going around shooting people, and they were a sleepy town of expats. And we had a bunch of narco capitalists that we knew that lived down there. And we just had a couple of them on in the first hour. And I'm going, all right, well, it's made it down there. Okay, now what? What are you guys going to do? I mean, you know, here comes, you thought there's some place you could go and be left alone. Here they come. You know, and then the government's going to that, and they're going to this, and corruption or us, and, you know, whatever. And as you go through, what are the solutions to any of this? I don't know. You know, I know it's make it to where they can't take away your stuff, your freedom, your mind, your whatever the hell. And so I'm for promotion of decentralized if they can't, cannot. Then the second hour, what do I have? Guys talking about, you know, Anthem Gold, which is a digitizing of gold. Well, he was involved in e-gold in the early 2000s that we were participating in on the show when we started the radio show in 2003. And then the man came and, you know, goes to Dubai and takes the gold, and you're not allowed to be secret, and shut that down. Then you had gold money, which Peter Schiff was pumping, and we did and everything. And then their KYC got real stupid and customer service sucked, and we're out of that. Then they want to do this Anthem Golden Digitized kind. Same thing. I'm going, until they can't, you know, take and, I don't know, seize and surveil and everything, I don't see the solution. So it needs to be a can't thing. And in if you're going to have a government or pretend like there's you're going to have some influence, it's a mindset. You know, it's writing children's books. You know, you're the solution.
I hope so.
Yeah, yeah, babies, and you raise up Britneys so they can raise up kids. I mean, that's how you do it. How are you going to bring more kids into this world? And I go, well, hell, that's how you fix it. You breed them out.
Right, right. One other thing that I'm a little bit optimistic about is peaceful civil disobedience. So a little bit different from like marching in the streets, but finding ways to protest that make it impossible for them to do their jobs.
I mean, you know, things come to mind. What would I do? I remember when Braveheart first came out, and we were like 5 years into, you know, activism and everything, and the governor guy, the Lord, something goes up and slits the throat of William Wallace's wife. And that right there, Donna was kind of, yeah, they take me out, and I'm expecting you go all William Wallace on them. I mean, you know, kind of, and I'm thinking, I'm going, oh, no, I'll get some. But it's not going to be, do I got to do the violence? I mean, that's kind of what they want a lot of times.
Yeah, well, that's their currency. That's what they're good at. So if they can get you playing their game, they're probably going to win.
Yeah, so I'm like, yeah, what is it really? It's really an inspiration thing. It's kind of freedom's the answer, what's the question? Go and pirate, a mindset of they could suck it. And if you can expand that, like then here comes the Levolution. Well, that was a big, giant, you know, advancement. But then, of course, all it did is mapped out their pirate network. Network of all these people, and they're going, damn it, these people keep, we if we had just killed 120,000 of these terrorists, then there wouldn't be any terrorists anymore. I mean, you know, it's that mindset. So I'm going, the act of it, I mean, next week we're going to visit with some friends and so on, and this is the very issue we're going to be discussing. What are we going to do in this next coming cycle? Is there something we can do? And we got Jacob Hornberger to talk about. Here we go.
Oh, awesome.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, the land of confusion. Yeah, it's not that complicated to me. They, them, those won't leave me alone. I mean, it's really no more complicated than that. But the thing is what do you do? You know, I remember it was, you know, they take out William Wallace's wife and Braveheart and let's go whip some ass and they start a revolution, or somebody won't sit down in the back of the bus, or they, you know, kill the wrong kid, or they vaccine damaged the wrong child. And we had Kent Heckenlively on Tuesday, I think it was, and, you know, he had vaccine damaged son that they pulled back, you know, from the abyss and fixed, but his daughter, you know, they didn't catch it as early and they didn't understand what was going on, so she's still vaccine damaged. But here's a lawyer, a teacher, a science guy, and he can write. And he goes, you know what? You done pissed off the wrong guy. Well, there's a whole bunch of people they're doing, like Brittany Schaefer's, that are out there going, let's go get some. Get what and how? It's just general public opinion. And after Donna went and saw Vax 2, she's going, bad guy, they've lost. It's over. It's just how long they can delay it and what they can convert it into, and, you know, and who doesn't go to jail. I mean, you know, they're going to change laws and who has to stay after school or whatever. There is not going to be justice. What there may be is some change or not. I mean, this kind of buildup of this kind of corruption, and for the children, my ass, they don't care. You know, and they say it takes a village to inoculate your kid. I mean, you know, whatever. What? So now I'm still trying to come up with, I know what I'm doing. It's like, you know, none of your business. It's a mindset. It's a general public opinion. How do we get to that? A lot of it is Brittany writing, you know. So what do you think? The solution? You keep writing children's books and we're breeding them out? What?
I'm sort of two minds on this. So there are sort of two sides of this question to think about, because I think if a solution is dependent on the majority of the population agreeing with us, we're screwed. that's never going to happen. And you know, or rather, that'll happen once the norm becomes what we think. Once sort of the world changes and people then say, oh yeah, it's always been this way, and that's how things are, and you know, because that's what people do. You know, then public opinion might change. But if we think that we're going to get, you know, the vast majority of the population to see the world, to see the state the way we see it, you know, I think that's sort of one of the least likely avenues for change. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't be changing minds. We shouldn't be working on changing hearts and minds, because, you know, I do believe that change, you know, positive changes for liberty and just for humanity in general haven't really come about by mass movements. They've mostly come about either by individuals or by small groups of people. And so I feel like our focus should be on, yes, educating people and trying to change minds, but our hopes can't rest on that. You know, the more people we have on our side, the better, and the more, you know, people who can actually do something to make a difference, the better. But my goal is not so much to get the whole world to see things the way I do, maybe to get a bunch more people to see it, and people who, you know, people who are capable of coming up with things like cryptocurrency. I couldn't have done that. I couldn't have you know, I had ideas about it, but there's no way I could have come up with the blockchain idea. That's brilliant. That's absolutely, you know, mind blowing. So to get people like that, to get people who can contribute, you know, in ways of developing technologies and developing the things we need to do to beat the state, that's kind of more my goal.
Well, the state has got technologies. They want to enslave the people. I mean, they got this, you know, now it's smart cities, which you, you know, sustainable development, climate change, global warming, it's all the same thing, you know. And here in Arizona, man, they're coming full speed ahead. Because when you have, you got the Michael Crow, the head of the ASU here, as you know, any building at ASU that was global warming or climate change is now sustainable development, a smart city, a Bill Gates building a thing out in the West Valley out here with the Matrix plug in the back of your head, and they want me to pay for it with my tax money. And I'm going, whoa. You can be all the future city of drone all you want, and you're gonna make me pay for it? Well, I don't want it. I just, you know, do it, you know, peace out. You know, have freedom, but don't make me pay for it. And it's a public opinion thing, and it has to get so bad. But you can see how bad it gets in other places around the world, around the country, different states. You have Illinois, is their pension. I've been screaming about, I tell you when everybody's going to care, when all that money you saved in your pension is gone. They're going to care then. You know, what happened? Well, they did that Grapes of Wrath kind of thing and going, I don't know, but I'm going to find out. Well, did you find out in, you know, 08, 09? You had the Lovelution. Then you had crypto coming. Is it not clear what we're up against now? Do you not get it yet? Well, a lot of people go, yeah, I get it. I just want to be on the winning team and government and get my check and a universal basic. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, here's what we're up against. We're up against, you know, we were up against generations of people who've been through government schools. And, you know, not only, you know, being fed pro-state propaganda, but also being taught not to think, being taught to make judgments based on either what authority tells you or on what public opinion is, what your peers tell you. So that's what, I don't think that, I think some of that is nature. There's human nature part of human nature to want to follow and to want to, you know, trust in authority and all that stuff. But I think that, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think what the education system does is it exacerbates that. It builds on that so that that becomes the dominant trait. I mean, if you look at, you know, the general population of America, most people don't seem to really make moral judgments for themselves. They don't seem to think for themselves.
I'm looking at all of this information that we're starting to see, and I'm wondering how they're creating that into a narrative that is bad somehow. You watch the which I don't. I can't take it. I mean, are you freaking, even as a journalist, I mean, you watch the Democrat debates. You go all the crap. You go watch the State of the Unions. You go watch. I tell you what I do enjoy. Every now and then, we'll, you know, there's nothing else to do, and you flip on or you watch in the background or whatever Trump rallies at, whatever the hell. He's just pissing off the media and everybody. This is awesome. And I'm just going, you know, you just go piss them off. Of course, he's not any better. But I mean, you know, it's just, it's just, you could see the battle that's being waged. And I looked at the, you know, the IG report, I guess, came out. I was supposed to be talking about something came out yesterday. I don't know what, I don't care. Doesn't matter anyway. You know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. What is the solution? How are you raising your children? They're going to get stopped by an officer of, eh, screw you. My mom says that you're, you know, a bad guy and privateer of the crown and suck it. And I got a constitutional right. And my grandpa said, because I know the law and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And you're in a straitjacket and they got you thrown in the bottom of something. So, you know, so what do you tell your children? How do they interact with the man?
We tell them that that the police are criminals, that government is a criminal organization, and you know, yes, know your rights, but also more than that, know that they can get away with anything. They will do whatever they want, and they'll get away with it.
So
and
you're so, banned from Facebook.
You know, I'm not, and I'm kind of disappointed about that.
I know. I go, what the hell I gotta do?
I'm not really doing my job here. If I'm still active on Facebook, I feel like I've been demoted though, because you know, in the last like 6 months or so, I'll post stuff and very few people react.
Yeah.
I'm also not seeing other people's posts. I feel like I've been sort of locked in this little hole.
Yeah, they put you in an echo chamber of whatever, and it doesn't break out and nothing goes viral from Britney. I mean, you know, you're not allowed.
That's kind of what's happening.
I don't waste time on, I mean, we have, you know, Facebooks and all that kind of stuff. I probably posted maybe 5 things in 10 years. I mean, you know, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, and I Facebooked you. I go, well, that was your first problem. You know, you expected me to what? That ain't going to happen. So I'm, I don't know. Well, I want to talk about Jacob Hornberger's race here. You got something to say about that?
I know nothing about it.
Yeah, so, we'll talk in the break about it. Maybe we'll say something when we come back. We'll
I also want to mention that today there's actually a big vaccine protest in New York. They're protesting their proposed laws to mandate HPV and to basically eliminate parental consent for HPV. So doctors can give this vaccine to kids.
What did you see in California? The people were organized, pissed off, met, did all kind of, and they didn't care.
Yeah.
So now what?
Now what?
You know, it's going to get to the point, and I don't like saying this kind of stuff, but this is just from a historical perspective. When it gets this bad and you have targets of this, I mean, it's going to go down to the source or somewhere they're manufacturing this stuff. And then all of a sudden, you know, like stuff happens, their supply chain gets attacked, you know, there's something to something. And it's just, and I'm going, but when it starts to get to that point, it has to be after everybody already knows. It's like, you're always having these big dust ups at checkpoints. You know, we haven't had the checkpoint getting bowled over by a Cybertruck or something yet, okay? So when that happens, then you'll start going, yeah. And if it's supported by the people, then it may have been time. But not until people are going, when the hell is somebody going to, you know, Moab, the freaking vaccine Pfizer factory of fill in the blank, you know?
Right.
Because it's just pumping out poison. At what point do you go? And then, of course, they'll say, oh, and the terrorists did, you know, whatever, never. So I don't know. You're.
Yeah, there's a certain level. There's a certain percentage of the population. I don't think it even has to be the majority.
No, it's like 15%. You know, from 3 to 15%. You hit 15%, and they start freaking sleeping. Yeah. You know, with security guys at their bedroom door. I mean,
and that's what they're scared of. I mean, the one encouraging thing is that they are really threatened by anyone who threatens their narrative. That's something they really rely on, and it is being threatened. I mean, more and more people are speaking out about it.
Yeah, Dr. Judy Mikovits, we've had her on every week for like 3 years.
Yeah.
And we do, is every week, every 2 weeks now? What is it, Donna? Dr. Judy's on how often? Yeah, every 2 weeks now. I mean, and it's just, you know, walking this through. And then we had Kent on, their new book, Plague of Corruption. And then, of course, Plague was their first one.
Yeah.
And I told Kent, I said, you know what would be a good idea? We've done this before. And I didn't say what book it was, but it was Unintended Consequences on Second Amendment stuff. In the mid-90s, we gave every legislator one, you know. Yeah. And they, oh, man, they didn't like that none too much. ATF, they, you know what they did? They went to all the gun shows, and they threatened the guys that had that book, you know, with death and damnation if they kept selling it, you know.
Wow.
And so I'm like, wow.
So they're not worried about the guns. They're worried about the book.
Oh, right? Hell yeah.
That's telling.
Oh, it was like we're going out to ATF kind of, oh, hell no. So, so I'm going, this book, because of the title, Plague of Corruption, and it's on the vaccines, I go, if every legislator got that, and the state legislators in Congress in this country, it would only be, I don't know, $50,000, $60,000 project. And it just, they go, what the hell just happened? So I told them, I said, talk to your publisher, get us a price on this, see what we can do. Maybe we'll do something like that. Do I think they're going to read it? I don't give a crap. That's not the point, you know?
Yeah, they're afraid of it.
Yeah, it'd be like kryptonite. I got to get that in the trash, man. Don't let any of their interns read that. I mean, you know.
Did you hear about, I haven't written anything about this yet because details are skimpy, and I want to wait till there are more details out. But young author, I'm trying to look up her name, author of a fiction book.
Okay, wait a minute. We're coming back. Remind, keep that, you know, remember that.
Okay.
Channels. Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Oh, what was that? What was that? Oh, that sounds like a bomb! You dropped a bomb on them! I wonder, is that where it's coming down to? Is it going to be violence? Is it going to be he pissed off the wrong dad, grandpa, somebody kind of something, you know, that my sister, my brother, that I did, and uncles and nephews, and kind of, you know, and we got to go do something. Will that be beneficial? Will that work? Maybe at some time. I don't think we're there yet. But, you know, sooner or later, when they came out and what did they say? 430-something million guns in the United States. And I didn't even count like the billions of rounds of ammunition a year. So I'm going, it's not the same as a lot of places around the world. You know, you piss the people off enough, man. Don't be pissing the people. Well, we're going to take all your guns and door-to-door gun confiscate. Well, that's how you get it going. Go ahead and try that. It's called Lexington and Concord. I just came a couple months ago. I was back east, and we went to the North Bridge there, and the whole story of whatever, and a cute, you know, ranger babe giving the story, and I'm going, yeah, what is the deal with Massachusetts and guns, man? Don't you know that this was, oh, well, it was illegally resisting tyranny. They didn't do it right. You know, we got to, you know, give it that. But yeah, you guys are killing me. It's all public opinion. So I'm getting to where, you know, with this movie, Vax 2 coming out and the original one, Vax. Now, when they did Vax, about 3 days before the movie even was released, we got an advanced copy. We made 3,000-4,000 copies of it. And we distributed them at the maternity hospital parking lots and did it. We were buttheads and legislative box, and they were just real dicks about it. Well, this one, I'm going, all right, we'll just put a double feature on these. And did a movie about it. Like to see it. Here you go. Okay. So I am, you know, get some. What should I be doing, Brittany? What's the goal here?
Keep doing what you're doing. I mean, here's what's encouraging to me is how freaked out they are. And by they, I mean, you know, the pharmaceutical companies.
They don't know.
You know, they really are afraid of their narrative being disrupted. And this is the same thing with Julian Assange. I mean, it's the reason that he's being tortured in prison right now is because he revealed, crimes committed by the government. So I'd be more worried if they didn't care that had been revealed. You know, the fact that they are worried about that seeing the light of day tells me that we're over the target. You know, it tells me that they've got a weakness, and that's what we need to go after. Go after the narrative. Go after, to tell the truth. And it's crazy. There's, you know, the getting back to the vaccine issue. You know, the people like Senator Pan from California, they just spew out nonstop lies. He got caught in a really, you know, bald-faced lie this last week where he claimed that he had debated RFK Jr. twice. And RFK Jr. writes back and said, you know what, this never happened. Show me video of this. Show me, you know, show me any evidence of this. And of course, there wasn't any. But they just, they get away with spewing lies because public opinion is such that it's, it just accepts what, it accepts certain things. And until that changes, you know, people will be able to get away with lies. But the fact that they're, that they don't like the truth being exposed, that's encouraging. That means that their narrative is really valuable to them. So that's what we go after.
You know, one thing that's really kind of upset me is I have met with a couple of legislators. They wanted to, you know, it's a long story. And
did you bathe afterwards?
I'm sorry?
Did you bathe afterwards?
It was worse than that. It was like, it was like a tear. You know, it's just, it's so sad because what they're looking at is, of course, they want to be on the winning side of whatever. And a lot of these guys, you know, either they're sociopaths or they got, you know, this freaking grandiose view of themselves and they're going to save America. And we got to compromise to get so they can be in position to save America and they'll save it when they get there. And you know, when I'm a legislator, all right, when I'm congressman, all right, when I'm president, when I'm king of the world, then I'll free you. You know? And their mindset is on this vaccine issue is they don't want to go up against the activist. They don't want to piss me off. You know, but they don't want, well, it wouldn't be prudent at this juncture to take it. And then what the hell good are you?
Yeah.
Don't sit here and tell me how freedom oriented you are. And you're doing, you know, it's always about the children until it comes to notions and potions of a forced injection from the crown to destroy their lives. And then you're not there. And what the hell good are you? So that's where I'm at. And I warned these guys at the summit, these legislators, they came to the after party too. And they're, you know, I don't even remember their names. I didn't care. You know, and I just go, you know, I don't want you guys to think that you're going to be in here and you glad hand and you smile and you do your politician campaign crap and think it has anything to do with me other than it makes you a traitor when you renege on it and you get hit first. I'm going, don't ever think by coming to this that, you know, took you off the list. It put you on my list.
Yeah,
so I man, don't even play that game with me. Now, Jonathan Lockwood, the activist that was there in California working on this, kind of, you know, trumpeted that when during his presentation there. And I was so appreciative of having an activist there doing that. Did you go down to Sacramento at all? Were you involved?
I didn't. I was watching it. I was, in fact, I wrote a piece for Lou Rockwell about it. I was watching it via video, but I wasn't able to get down there. But yeah, that was incredible.
What happened with the people online? I mean, when you're doing the social media of whatever, or the people like, oh, we got to organize. We're going to get some now. And then, of course, Facebook maps out everybody. But, you know, what do you think the repercussions are going to be for the 2020 campaign?
For the 2020 campaign? Oh, my God, I have no idea. I do know that there are a lot of people, there are a lot of, in California, and I would say around the country, actually, there are a lot of former Democrats, at least in the health freedom movement, who are aware of you know, the vaccine issue. There are a lot of Democrats and former Democrats who are going to be voting Republican because it's been so clear that, I mean, especially in California where the vote was just party line.
But they got a voting machine take care of that for you. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, I mean, again, I don't really care about elections, but I do see, you know, I completely understand why it would make sense to vote Republican on this for this issue.
Because I don't see that's like a false sense of security or
activism.
It's just, you know, that's not it. I mean, they need to buy your book. You know, they need to, you know, read your articles. They need to print out and do what Brittany said. I mean, something else that's, you know, productive. Be on the street. Do the Levolution thing, which is why, all right, that brings up Jacob Hornberger. All right, what do you know about? What do you know about Jacob? You know, you supported that. You can know what's up. What?
I know his writing. I didn't know he was running for anything.
He's running for president of the United States of America as a Libertarian nominee.
Now, dang it, because now that means now I have to pay attention to the campaign.
I know.
Could you get him to stop?
He's in on this. Like last May, I had him on, and he was talking about he's going to different libertarian conventions. And so I said, "Sounds to me like you're running for president." And he goes, "Oh no, the FEC would kind of wouldn't be prudent at this juncture to talk about." I go, "I don't know. Now it sounds like you're really running for president." You know?
Yeah.
So he did announce, and it is a thing. And I had these guys from Mexico on this morning. And in the break, they go, hey, you know about Bumper Hornberger running for president? I go, damn, it made it to Mexico? Holy crap. You know? So this is, and of course, his position is, you know, going to be ours on, you know, mandated.
Oh, yeah.
Anything.
That was great.
Great. I'm really looking forward. Now, of course, I was contacted. He and I had talked about me. You know, they want to do Levolution thing again and stuff. And I'm going, look, man, I can't be on the list or inside because I don't play well with others. And you're going to want me off the list in a week anyway. But yeah. Don't worry about it. I got you covered, you know. So we're going to be doing, which is what I did with Ron, too.
Yeah.
But I went and spent a few weeks in New England, and because in New Hampshire, there's a 2020 thing. In fact, I was back east there a week when I got the call from him confirming that he was doing it. And I'm going, you know, well, I just so happened to be in the place where we're going to be. We got you covered, man. Don't worry about it. You know? And he goes, well, I want you on my, yeah, no, you don't. I ain't filling out paperwork.
That
ain't happening.
Not going well.
You know, so this, but this issue, I can see we need a Bumper Jacob Hornberger doing what he's doing, because I know whether you agree with him on all his positions and open board this or that, or people go freak out about something. But, you know, it's the arguing from the principles of libertarian like Ron did. This education is going to be a public opinion thing, and I am in, because I'm going to use it here, there, everywhere in the next week or two. We're making plans of what we might be able to do. And I think it's going to dovetail into, like you say, all these Democrats are going, man, we chose poorly. Yes, you did. But to think that your Republicans are going to be any better. So or even libertarian. I mean, it's not that.
It's the system that's the problem. It's the game that's the problem. That game is not going to win liberty for you.
Yeah.
It can be a great platform for someone like Ron Paul or Jacob Hornberger. And, you know, I hope he gets as much out of it as he can. But that, you know, if that game isn't that, that's not the tool that you use to get liberty.
Well, what is? Gosh darn it. Brittany, better get on it. I want to see the article.
I'm on it.
Man, just got you breed them out. That's one thing. That's what we're all doing. There we go. Thanks, Brittany. Yeah,
all right, thank you.
Yeah, Jacob Hornberger, man, go check it out.
Awesome. I will. I didn't realize he was doing that.
Well, it's because that's why he's been writing so much. Like every day he's got an issue on any of this stuff. It's everything. You know, it's everything. You know, he comes in about this and that and that and this and everything. It's for his campaign. So I'm going, okay. Well, he's thinking kind of small and, well, if I can do this in North Carolina and get attention, I go kind of more like, are you kidding me? You know, so it was the same thing with Ron. I remember he came here to Arizona. It was his first stop when he announced it. It was my birthday, March 29th in 07.
Wow.
So he came here and had a big fundraiser, and they got like $30,000-$40,000. I was like, whoa, really?
Wow.
And they said, yeah, if we can raise $3 to $5 million, we're going to be able to yada yada. I'm going, you guys, I can't even have anything to do with it. You're thinking way too small. You guys, you have no idea what's coming. And I just, yeah, whatever. And it wasn't until May of 07 that Ron's like, you know, yep, thanks for letting me join your Levolution kind of thing. And but he understood. It wasn't him, I think, that was the problem. It was his campaign. It was all these, you know, the people that, you know, brought him to the dance through his congressional races and all that kind of stuff. But Ron was the only one of the whole group that kind of got and had faith in spontaneous order and the people kind of thing. So I was outside of it. And I, you know, the only contact I had with the campaign was Lou Moore as campaign chairman. I just call every couple weeks and kind of what's up and where you guys going to be. And there was no coordination other than just telling me where he was going to be, you know, and doing what. So I get a plane ticket. I go there, and a few days before, I have a bunch of kids have hundreds of signs put up from billboard, you know, vinyl that I got, you know, for nothing, that some company's trying to get rid of it anyway, you know, and we just did all these signs all over the country. And the thing was, is that people thought that was an early thing. I go, God, you guys don't get it. It wasn't anybody's thing. It was, they just had a focus of, you know, people could do what they wanted. And when they did Campaign for Liberty, they thought they could take all that and then direct it and make them pay a dues for it or something. I'm going, you guys don't understand what's going on, and you're missing it. And then Jacob, having witnessed all of this and everything, he's like, well, if we could, I'm going, I hear the same thing. You're missing what's going on here. But the difference is that you got that libertarian freaking party Bill Weld bar bullshit, you know, and Nick and all these guys. You just want to slap these guys around. So I don't know if we can get something going for him before it's 4th of July, you know, that week you got the nominee and then what? So I don't know. And the other, there's a whole slew of candidates doing whatever libertarian stuff they're doing, which is fine, you know, but I don't know. I mean, that's what we're going to, you come up with a plan or an idea, or you know somebody, something got a, you know,
yes.
chair, because tell them to come on the show.
So he's going for the libertarian ticket.
Right.
Okay.
So that is, you know, and that's, and I'm so, I mean, I go to the conventions and, you know, you see your friends and you kind of, you know, and I run to make fun of whatever, but, yeah, if you think voting is going to make you free, you haven't been paying attention, you know?
Well, that's going to be interesting to see that, to sort of show, that'll sort of expose the clash in the Libertarian Party between the people who really believe in the political system and in compromising to win that. Versus someone like Jacob,
right.
who is just, he just...
Well, the compromise doesn't work. And I think that there's the guys like, I think there's the guys like Bill Weld and friends, that their whole thing is to derail any effort that would take off like this.
Mm.
You know, they're there to cause the problem. They're there to, but we promise and pinky swear that you'll get if only. And, you know, it's a Coke thing, because Coke wants to be in charge of whatever they want to be in charge of, because Liberty is just a voting bucket for them, or kingmaker for Congress to get some energy policy. That's all that is, you know. Now, they'll set up all this structure to create their influence of whatever, because it's a bleed off of the things like the Levolution. Because the Mises Institute, the Mises is all behind Jacob. And, you know, it's like you got, you know, Woods and Murphy and, you know, Kinsella, Deist, Ron, McAdam. I mean, all these guys, Jacob, he's our man. Well, there's a group called the Mises Caucus inside the Libertarian Party that the last convention, they pissed them off with Nick going after Woods for saying something about Rothbard. He goes, "The only thing you ever learned from Rothbard was a failed political blah, blah, blah," something. What the hell was that about? So that guy, so here comes Mises. So now the Mises guys and their fans and the fan guys of Mises got a caucus inside the party, and they're pushing a platform of their, but they're doing all the 501 blah, blah, blah crap, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, whatever. So when we do it, and that's why I was telling Jake, I go, "Look, I'm not filling out any paperwork. It ain't happening, okay? So I'm going to do whatever is First Amendment to bite me. Now, I don't want a pirate pack, you know, could, you know, political action, a pirate, but I will be a pack of pirates, you know, pirates against the crown. I go, you know, I'll be a pack of pirates. Watch this." So that's where we're going with this. And
okay, awesome.
So hopefully, well, yeah, check it out. And you can, because all your friends, people, I mean, you know these guys, you know, they're all in on Jacob. I'm surprised you didn't know it.
No, I've been, I tend to sort of focus in on a little thing, and I've really, in recent years, I've been just trying to tune out, especially anything related to elections, anything related to the presidency. I have not spent a single moment on the impeachment stuff. I'm so happy with myself for that. And I was really
impeachment stuff, what are you talking about?
Yeah, thank you. I was hoping that I'd get to make it through this next election cycle without spending any attention on it at all. And now you're telling me there's someone I need to pay attention to.
I know.
That's just,
but it's not as an election.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be interesting. Think of this. You know, they just pissed us all off. And here comes the Britney's, Butler, Jane's, Ernie, Don, kind of, we're going to the national convention just cause.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there is something very cool about that.
The only thing, blah, 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 when you're having the voting thing for president. Let's do that. Yeah, whatever, we're partying. We went to, it's in Austin, so, you know, that's
okay.
Yeah, so Austin's pretty good. It's like centralized planet kind of thing. So I'm going, and it's probably, and he's from Texas, so, you know, it probably won't suck. So I'm going, yada, yada, yada. It all comes down to delegates. Now, that's what Adam Kokesh has been doing. He's been really hammering on getting the delegates in there, and I think he's going to have an impact, and a lot of these guys doing whatever. But when it comes down to after the first, second, third, fifth, 10th vote, whatever the hell, there's going to be the bussing in of the boys doing whatever the hell they're going to do for Justin Amash or something.
Right.
And I'm going, oh, bring it the F on. Let's do this.
Yeah, let's expose that.
So I'm encouraging people – to just go. You'll get set as delegates.
Yeah.
You know? whether you're a delegate from the state or not, there's always somebody. And that may be something they change. They'll go, nope, we're not letting that happen anymore because we decided.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, that's what happened. That's what certainly would happen with the Republican conventions and the primaries with Ron. I mean, no, we're just changing the rules last minute. No, you guys don't get to be here, you know.
Yeah, everybody always did this, you know, throughout my life. They, you know, this is the most important election, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I'm going, yeah, whatever. But this time, I don't think it's so much the election, it's just this time. And mm-hmm. I think the economics is going to kick the shit out of everybody. I think all the pensions, and it's gone. And you have it's already starting, you know, in different states. And it's just a neon flash and obvious sign of told you so. Real estate's going to hit it again. We're going to have on and on and on. And then all of a sudden, everybody's going to put their head on what the hell just happened. I'm going, what the hell you think we've been telling you is going
to
happen?
Right. People are ready to hear our message. People are ready to hear stuff that they weren't a few years ago.
I think so.
Yeah, no, I get that feeling too.
Yeah, that's why I went pirate. All the letters. Have you read any of the letters?
I have. I've looked through some of them. That's right. I'm going to send you a copy of my book, by the way.
Boom. Boom, boom. What, Sky Pirate?
Yeah.
So tell me about that real quick.
So basically it's for kids. It's steampunk. And it's about, so there's this young girl, she's 13, her parents are abducted in front of her, in front of their house, by the police. And she ends up taking up, she isn't taken, she ends up taking up with this weird spinster who lives down the street with her intellectually handicapped niece. And they are friends with these sky pirates. So she spends the book trying to get her parents back, trying to find out what happened to them. And basically, they were illegally abducted by the police. She learns that the police can do whatever they want. And it has, you know, she had this idea about law and order and, you know, the laws that everyone's subject to. And she learns that that's not how things operate. The pirates are actually smugglers. They're not. These ones are not pirates of the type that go around.
I understand.
You know, marauding. They're just smugglers. And there's a lot of stuff in there about there's the queen has this sort of surveillance system. So there's a lot of stuff about surveillance and about evading surveillance and privacy and prohibition. There's the whole sort of context is the queen's government is prohibiting certain things from being traded. And so that's in there too. So there's a bunch of good stuff. And it's the first of a series. It's the introduction.
You know, before I let you go, are you at your computer?
Yeah. Yeah.
Go to Pirates Without Borders. I want to show you something.
Okay. Pirates Without Borders. Yeah.
All right. When you, underneath the ship there, you'll see it says Letters of Captain Mark Online on the right there. Click that.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, then across the top it says Letters of Mark, Reprisal, Dr. Barber, Captain Kidd.
Oh, wait, I clicked on the Amazon link.
No, the other one.
Yeah.
Okay, Captain Kidd. First letter of Captain Kidd, The Tale of a Pirate's Apprentice.
Because
everybody always goes, what about the children? I go, we got Captain 12-year-old Captain Kidd. Now he can tell you all about it.
There's actually a character in my book who kind of is this.
Right.
He's more of a teenager, but
right. Well, see, when you were talking about this, I'm going, hell, you might shit. We what? This right here is these characters: Mark, Reprisal, Barber, and Captain Kidd are characters along with the Precariat, the ship in the Orville fan video game that they're building. Davy Barker is one of the head writers on
that.
They're doing all this, and these characters they're bringing in. Now, the Captain Kidd, there's a guy in film school, they're doing a film of Captain Kidd, but instead of it being, you know, pirates with ships and doing the kind of, it's the same backstory, but they ride the rails, you know, they're like a subway and so on, and that's their ships and, you know, that kind of crap.
Wow.
So it's so that they can, you know, do the film. But the when you're talking about this, the first few paragraphs is right in with, you know, this is the motivation for how they, you know, how he became a pirate apprentice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is great.
Yeah, no.
I'm gonna have to steal some of this.
No, that's why I'm showing you.
Yeah, now, this is awesome.
No, you read this and you'll go, damn, man, they thought about this. I go, yes, we did.
Yeah.
Now, they have their own ship, the Emancipation, that's making it into the Orville game, too. And have you ever seen the Orville? You know what I'm talking about?
You told me about it. I haven't seen it, but I'm going to take a look.
It's fun. It's Seth MacFarlane, you know, Family Guy guy, and it grows on you. How they came across, there's a artificial intelligence character in it named Isaac from a planet of artificial intelligence, and we have one that's called the First Contact Protocol. It's about, you know, artificial intelligence and what happens when your AI says no. I mean, then what, you know? But so they took that and made it part of their game, you know, and they're so it's just that's what we wanted to do was penetrate pop culture. And Dobby's really good at that, you know, because he's got skills as a writer and art. And also there's a cell phone games that they build. It's a series of which this whole thing is part of one of their games. So it's this is how we're doing it. You know, general public opinion. How can we penetrate past the bureaucracy and get into the culture? So what you're doing in the books, when you were talking about it, I'm going, well, shit, sounds like Captain Kidd.
Yeah.
Now, when you see up there the Tsar date, 45, 9, 35, 15, 38, what that means is the 45 is the 45th president, 935 days in office, and it's 1,538 words.
Okay.
So it's just kind of time stamps it without putting a date on it, you know?
Right. Oh, this is very cool.
Yeah. No, you'll dig the verbiage on this. We spend a lot of time on this, all these.
Yeah.
So this is, if it inspires you to peace out, man, be my freaking guest.
Yeah. Thank you. This is great. I'll check out the game too. And I'll get you, I think I've got your address somewhere, but I don't get it, but I'll send you a copy of Sky Pirates.
Please. Well, it's at our address is at the bottom of every page of freedomsphoenix.com.
Okay.
So the good guys know where I live too. They go, Ernie, I can't believe you do that. I go, hey, well, all the bad guys know where I live. Can the good guys know where I live?
Right. Yeah. And if they don't, they'll find out.
Right. Hey, it's great talking to you. Keep it up. And I love seeing your stuff. And we publish it all the time. And a lot of times you include us in whatever list that you have. So we get it up that way.
Yeah, but, I think I do have you on an email list. Are you getting?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, we put them straight on Freedom's Phoenix. Boom. Brittany wrote something. Boom.
Awesome.
Done.
Awesome.
How's your parents doing?
My dad's actually, he was in the hospital a little while ago, and he had a knee stress fracture in his knee. So he's in rehab now, hoping to get him out by early January.
Oh, no, this is awesome. I know what he's going. See, Jane, you're making me walk. It's all your fault.
Yeah, it's a little bit like that.
That's a lot like that. He's like, yeah, I know. He's like, don't make me have to go. She goes, we're retired. Now we can go to Europe. And then he goes, not so much. Got a car.
Walk around.
I need a robot.
Yeah.
The knee thing. I was so give him crap. All right. Well, thanks for spending time with me, Brittany.
Thank you. Thanks. Well, talk to you again.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.